Summer camp, fresh air, bonfires, or, you know, staying inside and learning how to shoot YouTube videos. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Jed Kim, in for Molly Wood. Summer vacation is rapidly approaching. For some families, that means sending kids to camp. Some of those are YouTube camps, essentially places where kids can learn how to create slicker YouTube videos and channels. The demand has grown as kids want to emulate the online stars they watch. Julie Jargon is the family and tech columnist at the Wall Street Journal, and she wrote about the trend. She said kids learn how to light, shoot, and edit videos. Also, how to develop their personal brands.
They're teaching them to create their own unique voice so that they can stand out in the crowd of YouTubers and develop original content. But, you know, a lot of the kids I talk to, they just want to shoot videos of themselves playing Fortnite. So there's a lot of that already. But that's what a lot of kids are interested in doing. They watch the YouTubers playing video games and then they want to do it themselves.
Yeah, I can say I hear YouTube camp and my initial reaction is gross. But I know that's just like me being uninformed and reactionary. Help me understand the value of this.
Well, you know, I mean, I think that's the reaction actually of a lot of parents. And there is a debate raging in a lot of households right now about whether to allow children to have their own YouTube channels. And a lot of the, you know, the first time reaction from parents is no. You know, there are a lot of concerns about kids being exposed publicly and being open to bullying and predators and all of that stuff that we worry about on the internet. But a lot of the parents I spoke to who also shared those concerns, you know, kind of went about it thoughtfully and said, well, my kid wants to do something. They're passionate about it. How do I foster that? And is there a way to look at YouTube as a medium that can be an outlet for their creativity to develop the skills that they might not be able to develop on their own at home? And also, how can those skills translate to other life experiences? And also just learning the poise and the composure of speaking on film and addressing an audience. You know, those are all good things for kids to know how to do.
Yeah, summer is this, I guess it's like a blank canvas for kids to do whatever they want, or I guess what their parents want them to learn. And are parents more valuing developing digital skills than they were in the past?
I think so. I think there's a growing awareness of the fact that these kind of skills could be useful for future careers. I mean, gaming alone is such a huge industry. A lot of kids go to coding camps to learn how to code video games. So there are a lot of digital sort of skills that, you know, an older generation of parents don't have, and they're seeing that it could be applicable to future career choices for their children.
Some parents are, you know, they're increasingly concerned about screen time and like social media and spending all day video gaming, like even if it is for learning. So what makes a family more wary of tech compared to other families that are like, go for it?
You know, I just think it comes down to an individual choice and individual feelings about technology. Some families just really embrace it and they don't want their kids to be behind. And they feel like if their kids aren't learning these skills or aware of what's going on social media and the internet more broadly, that they will somehow be social outcasts or they won't have the skills to be competitive in, you know, in the future workforce. Other parents are just really cautious. I mean, it's not what we grew up with. And so they're, you know, you hear the horror stories and you hear about online bullying, and YouTube is a very public forum and people can leave, you know, mean comments. And, you know, is a child really ready to deal with that? You know, are they developmentally ready and emotionally ready to let it roll off their skin when someone posts a mean comment about their video? That's a difficult thing for adults to even face, that kind of criticism from the trolls. And so parents have to really prepare their kids for that. I mean, there are things you can do. You can moderate the comments that are posted on YouTube. You can turn them off. You can make a YouTube channel private so no one can see it. That sort of defeats the whole purpose of posting on YouTube, though, because it's meant to be shared. And YouTube videos are meant to be commented on. So it's just a whole new world that parents are trying to navigate. And it really comes down to personal choice as to whether you want your kids to jump into that world or maybe kind of keep them away from it to the extent possible.
Let's talk a little more about kind of the fame side of things. Some camps that you found were cautioning against building expectations that your kid's going to be a star, but other camps were like using it as a marketing point. Anything problematic with that?
Yeah, I mean, what is the reality of, you know, what are the chances that your child is going to achieve some sort of YouTube fame? Probably pretty slim considering how many videos are on YouTube and sort of the mystery about what the algorithm chooses to push up. You know, I mean, you can create a video and get no views. I mean, it's really hard sometimes to sift through all the videos and find a video on a particular topic. You know, and there are something like a billion hours of YouTube videos viewed daily. So how do you break through the clutter and make your video stand out? I mean, you know, I think parents have to be realistic with themselves and with their children that just because you post a video to YouTube doesn't mean you're going to start, you know, having a million subscribers and,
right.
and, you know, advertising and sponsorship contracts and that kind of thing. I mean, they're certainly people have achieved fame and fortune on YouTube, but just like with anything else, you know, you're not going to become necessarily the next star NBA player just because you go to a basketball camp. So I think, you know, you have to just be realistic and understand what you and what your child wants to achieve with their YouTube channel.
Julie Jargon writes about family and tech at the Wall Street Journal. I asked her if this means more kids will be coming home from camp, starting conversations by saying, "Hey guys, Madison here. I've got a couple great things to share with you." Julie said, "Yeah, that's already happening, even outside of camp." And now for some related links. Interested to know how YouTube is working to weed out the objectionable videos that get uploaded? Vox sat down with Neil Mohan, the company's chief product officer. He says it's not about just finding bad videos and removing them. It's about constantly updating the user guidelines for computer and human workers to follow. Among the staggering stats you'll read, 500 hours of video content gets uploaded every minute. More than 10,000 people have been hired to make the final decision of whether a video stays or goes. And Mohan says corpus no fewer than 7 times. Corpus as in the full body of work on YouTube. Let's see what else we got. How about the promise of making money through your YouTube channel? Business Insider lays out the path to getting your channel into the YouTube Partner Program. First thing you have to do in order to be eligible, have at least 1,000 subscribers, and your audience has to have watched 4,000 hours of you in the past year. There's a lot more that goes into it from there, like different tiers at which you can access more tools. It's a little daunting. And finally, learning camps are a way to combat the dreaded summer slide, or that thing where your kid gets dumber during the months when they're not in school. Lots of articles churn out every year at this time with ways to fight it. We found some articles in Parenting and Read Brightly that suggest apps to help. We are, after all, a tech show. I'm Jed Kim, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.